Black. I'm a clinical professor of internal medicine at the Langone New York University School of Medicine, former president of the American Society of Hypertension. I'm here today with my friend and colleague and classmate, Dr. Robert Vogel. Bob?
It's nice to be with you, Henry. As you know, now I'm out in Denver, where I'm a clinical professor of medicine at the University of Colorado in Denver, doing work with the NFL, as well as running a lipid trial.
Now, we're on a committee that the National Football League has that concentrates on heart disease. Now, why was that started?
Well, in 2004, Tom Allen from Oklahoma went to Paul Tagliabue, who was then commissioner of the NFL, and said, you know, our football players are pretty big. They must have a lot of heart disease, and we probably ought to study them. We ought to see whether they have risk factors and how they do, especially with regard to the question of fat versus fit.
But wasn't it obvious that they would have trouble?
Well, it was obvious to many people that they should have trouble. But as you know, when we started looking into this, we found that they had a little bit of hypertension, but really nothing else. They don't smoke, they get a great deal of exercise, they don't have diabetes. And Sherry Barron, when she looked at the mortality of retired NFL players 2 years ago, actually found that they had less mortality, age-adjusted, than the average American population, despite being as big as they are.
What was the comparative population?
Well, the comparative population was just the general male American population. So they were much smaller, and we're talking about people perhaps 250, 300 pounds in the NFL versus 150, 175 pounds in the general population. And despite the difference in size, the NFL players had lower mortality, especially with regard to cardiovascular mortality.
Was there any positive finding or surprising finding in that group?
Well, there was one that was very surprising. We know that if you're African American, have a higher mortality. If you're larger, if you're a lineman, you have a higher mortality, and we've known that for quite some time. The surprise was that the defensive line had a higher mortality than the offensive line, and we don't know why.
What was the average weight of those players?
Well, the average weight of a player of that era was about 275 pounds. Today, it's well over 300 pounds.
Now, blood pressure is something you mentioned. What was the finding about blood pressure?
Well, when we looked at the young people, the active players, we found a very high rate of prehypertension. Not dramatically high pressures, but a lot in the 120 to 140
range.
This
is compared to the control group?
And we compared it to the cardio population, which is, again, sort of an average free living population.
Now, one thing that's struck me about this group is this is a true population. They have the same socioeconomic status for the most part. They have the same training, the same diet. And yet we found that African Americans and white players had the same rates of elevated blood pressures.
Absolutely. And this was a surprise, although it's been previously reported. It is assumed that African Americans genetically have increased blood pressure. I'm not so sure that that's true. I think it's a question of lifestyle. There's no question that African Americans have more stress, a different diet, a different socioeconomic status. And when you even all of that out, when you get paid the same amount, do the same amount, exercise the same amount, have the same societal expectations, you actually have exactly the same blood pressure whether you're black or white.
That certainly was a surprise.
And that was a surprise. I think it does away with the assumption that just because you're African American, you have to have a higher blood pressure.
Which is what most people think. What's the explanation, do you think, for why active players have more hypertension, relatively speaking, than free-living subjects?
Well, there are many hypotheses. It could be the strength training. Today, football players train very vigorously, especially with weights all year round. They take a lot of NSAIDs. They get salt loaded so that they don't get leg cramps and things like that. So there are many parts of it that could play a role, but we just don't know what.
Really
exactly
not sure why that is.
Yes.
Now, I thought the biggest issue for NFL players was concussions. I guess that's not the case, is it?
Well, I think concussion is a very large issue. It's not only true of football players, it's true of soccer players and anybody else who has had trauma. For football players, it is an issue, and you and I know that the NFL is very concerned about that and is willing to change rules or do whatever it takes to minimize the risk.
What about high school players and college players? Are we looking into that at all?
Well, we're starting to look into that, and again, not just in football and other sports, and I think this is something that American medicine has to become more cognizant about. The rules of sending somebody back into the game are clearly changing.
We now require a neurologist to be present to examine anybody who comes out, and a lot of things that ought to help.
It used to be pretty casual.
Yeah.
Do you know the next play? Sure, get back in the game. We don't do that anymore.
That's right. I think that's a great advance, and it's going to protect kids from high school on. Well, thanks very much.